keeping away students everywhere, in the States and abroad, from soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Deepest greetings of love from the island of Kauai. Once more we meet. Once more we share an opportunity to be one with the Father as a group and to learn from the Source where we shall go, what we shall do, how we shall receive higher levels of our own true being. First, I hope you can join with me in a statement of gratitude to Lorraine Sinclair. I feel that all of us should turn to her and say, thank you, Lorraine, for a job well done. Through the years, Lorraine has been and is a trusted editor of the Joel books, a trusted editor of his monthly letter, an outstanding teacher. She has been a source of inspiration to thousands of students all over the world, and I know that you join with me in saying to her, thank you for the job you are doing, and the job you have done, and the job you will do. You have our total, genuine appreciation. Last April in Monterey, the message of divine flesh rang out loud and clear. Our transformation from human flesh that deteriorates and dies to divine flesh that lives under divine eternal law sprang forth like a bud in blossom. There were handshakes of joy, commitments, letters received from students all over the country saying, I'm with you all the way. And since then, we have all been living with the Monterey tapes and others, meeting individually with our spirit and in groups. And now we're ready. We are ready to witness the expansion of consciousness that is necessary to nourish those blossoms into divine fruit. We are ready for absolute truth. When Spirit speaks, whether in a book or through your soul, you have the pure gold tried in the fire. So when Scripture tells you your body is the temple of the living God, you are being given a priceless bit of information that should change your life. And we're not going to be like the world, so self-absorbed that it does not even read the spiritual word of Scripture. Your body is the temple of the living God. Now you know it's not speaking about your physical body, is it? Then what body is it speaking about? It must be telling you about a spiritual body, a non-physical body. And when Paul tells you that to be with God, you must be absent from your body, is he not revealing the same thing? Is he not saying there is another body, that you can be absent from this body in another body, and in that other body you are present with God. Isn't Paul revealing that every individual on this earth living in a human body is separated from the source of eternal life? Must be, if you have to be absent from the body to be with God. So we have 4 billion people walking in bodies that Paul says are absent from God. Instead of being absent from the body, they are absent from God. And then look at Luke. When Luke tells you that Christ Jesus was born of a virgin, don't we realize that he is speaking about another type of body? A body not under the limitations of time and space, age or human energy, disease, weather, material law. These three biblical statements are facets of one mystery that you and I have been brought together to face, to understand, and to overcome. If you are a dedicated soul, and thank heaven I know you are, who hungers and thirsts for the pure truth of God, we now have a sacred opportunity in our journey to divine sonship. We have been led by Spirit away from the world of effects. We've been led out of Babylon, out of the confused creature existence that worships the human ego and lives in bondage to personal sense. We have elected to transcend human selfhood, to transcend human will, to transcend the human concept of body and life, and to place our trust in the presence, the power, the will, the love, the substance of God within ourselves. The gold we seek cannot be mined in the physical earth or in the physical body. It must be mined in the fire of spirit. The fulfillment we seek, the salvation we seek, the survival we seek, does not lie within our mortal body. So if we have come to this special series of classes seeking only the goal that is tried in the fire of divine love, be sure, Spirit will read your heart, and the glories of heaven will be revealed unto you. Not 30, not 60, but 100-fold. To the Son of God, nothing is lacking. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Your function, my function, is to be that Son of God, not a dying, temporary creature of human flesh. And our function individually and collectively as a group is to learn from the source how to surrender every human concept to our own divinity. To exchange dying human flesh for living divine flesh. To walk boldly through the material darkness, guided by our own spiritual light. To set sonship with Source as the only acceptable goal. And then, to draw every breath of life, every action, every thought, through the focus of that single-minded purpose, knowing that the perfect path already is established. For your spiritual rebirth on this earth is already a fact. And in that realization of it, together we will discover that our earth is transformed literally into the heaven of God. We are walking through the fire of the earth by living in the fire of the Spirit. And we have only one guide. The will of God is our leader, whether it appears through Christ Jesus, Christ Joel, or through the Christ of your own being. The will of God is your leader. And the will of God is that you be transformed. There is no way to avoid that. The will of God is that you be transformed into the realization of the perfection that you are, that you may be perfect as your Father. None of us, in our visible corporeal sense, is perfect. And our transformation then will be from the imperfect human to the perfect immortal, the perfect divine self, the perfect spiritual being. The will of the world is that you remain in a mortal body until you die. Never mistake that. The world mind wills that you die. And this is the conflict that lives within each human being. The will of God that you transform and the will of the world mind that you die. And many so-called high initiates have often come on the reefs of disaster because they have been unaware of this conflict within themselves. And they have fallen prey to separation from their own divinity. We see it in high initiates in the Bible. I think Peter is a very outstanding example of the unconscious separation from God that is part of the human heritage. Peter loved Jesus. We know that he would gladly have followed Jesus anywhere, even to death. We also know that Jesus was identified by Peter as Christ, the Son of the living God. And when it happened, very strangely, the Master was not content to leave Peter in the divided consciousness that speaks truth with its lips but does not follow through with its heart. So Jesus charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And you say, why? And the answer is, because they had not yet perceived the full scope and nature of what Christhood really means. And you can see the extent of their ignorance almost immediately after Peter declares that thou art the Christ in the 16th chapter of John, starting in verse 21. Immediately after that incident, Matthew tells us, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Out of love, Peter would use his own body to shield his beloved master from the authorities. He would be a personal bodyguard for the safety of Jesus. And anyone who dared to lay a hand on Jesus would have to answer to the big fisherman. What did Jesus think about this? Did this devotion warm his heart? Did he feel a deep glow of gratitude for this touching display of loyalty? Mm-mm. He did not. Instead, Jesus turned and directly to Peter, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that are of men." I guess Peter must have been quite shocked. Here was this extraordinary outburst from the man he loved. The other disciples must have been equally shocked. To see Peter rebuked for wanting to protect the Master. And I think the most amazing of all, even more amazing than the surprise of the disciples, is that teachers of the Bible for 2,000 years have walked past this episode. They simply haven't bothered to explain it. They are completely unaware of the earth-shaking revelation hidden in the inspired words of Jesus the Christ. Love had spoken direct from God to man. And what Peter missed then, what mankind misses now, was given to the world by Paul when he declared, "God does not dwell in temples made with hands." In that one staggering sentence, he caught the truth that has evaded the human race from the beginning of time to the end of the 20th century. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. Be still with that a moment, please. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. In bodies made of human flesh. The Father within you is not within your human body, but in that other body, the temple which is the temple of the living God. And what is the big secret Paul was giving us? It is this: the incorporeality of Jesus Christ was not known by his own disciples. And it has not been realized by world religions or by science. The secret of incorporeality had been revealed to Hebrew prophets, to Moses, to Solomon, to Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. It was revealed to Krishna and Gautama the Buddha. For truly every master knows his own incorporeality. But always, the truth that we do not hear, the truth that is not spoken directly to our human mind, is too explosive to reveal to corporeal sense. And always the idea of living in a body not created by the physical union of man and woman has been beyond the realm of human understanding. And Peter, in his innocence, that Christ does not live in a body, a temple made with hands, but lives in his timeless, ageless, deathless, incorporeal body of divine flesh. In his ignorance of this, Peter wanted to protect Jesus from pain, from suffering, from death. And for this act of devotion, Jesus rebuked him. Oh no, not because Jesus was unappreciative, but because the time had come to drop into human consciousness that there is another body, a temple made not with hands, a body that can never be destroyed, and which never needs human protection. Hold a silence. Feel the presence of that body revealed by the words of Paul. Now, why did we have to learn through Peter that Jesus is the Christ? And why did we have to learn through Christ that he lived in an incorporeal body that can never be destroyed? There's only one answer. Because we also have such a remarkable, indestructible, eternal body of spirit. The same spiritual body of Jesus is the body of you, the body of me, the body of the human race. There we have the message taught by Jesus Christ. And it is the divine function of the infinite way in this century to teach every dedicated soul how to find this incorporeal body and how to live in it. Free from world karma, free from lack, free from limitation, free from the threat of catastrophes, from sickness, from war, from nuclear missiles, from old age, free finally from the deception of death, the final enemy. You might say, that is a glorious purpose, but are we fooling ourselves? Is this a pipe dream? Are we being trapped by another shining promise? Or are we making a breakthrough that can liberate ourselves and those who follow us from bodies of clay that are enslaved by world ignorance? By their deeds ye shall know them. And within range of my voice, there are hundreds of students who already have experienced a measure of the miracle of their own incorporeal body. Perhaps you are one of them. When a young man falls four stories from the roof of a condominium and walks away from that accident alive and relatively unbruised, you can be certain that the three Infinite Way students who immediately took him into consciousness discovered his deathless incorporeal body outside of world thought. And they lived in that truth until Spirit released him whole, completely unharmed, by their deeds ye shall know them. And when another student was faced with immediate surgery for an internal malignancy or certain death, and said to herself, how can this be if I am the child of God? And then boldly, she walked out of the surgeon's office without an operation. Again, you may be sure that she, her friend who worked with her in spirit, and her practitioner, in the deep silence of divine peace, found her incorporeality. And within 2 months, when she returned to the surgeon for a checkup, he discovered the malignancy had vanished. I really have no idea how this could have happened, he said. And his patient turned to him and replied, but I do. You see, she had realized her own incorporeal body. And I know some of you right now are saying, so have I. Because you have. The marvelous truth is that in all spiritual healings, recovery comes from the conscious or unconscious discovery of the one incorporeal body of infinite spirit, which is perfect as the Father. And if you follow Jesus through the Holy Land, you will see the application of this potent principle, liberating the unillumined who are held captive in a corporeal sense of body. As the silence envelops us, it says, enter now into your secret place. And behind and above your thinking mind, let your soul find you. Questions. Are you corporeal? Or are you incorporeal? Are you flesh? Or are you spirit? Are you temporary, born of the flesh? Or are you the eternal child of God? Never born, never dying. Question. Is your spiritual self a reality? Where is it? God is all. God is not corporeal. God is present. And God is not corporeal. Is corporeality present? If God is all, if God is present, then is your corporeality present. Outside the capacity of your five senses, God is now present, right here. Inside your five senses, corporeality appears. Inside your five senses, God cannot appear because God is incorporeal and imperceptible to your senses. Inside the five senses of man, only Jesus could appear as corporeal man. But outside the five senses of man, the eternal incorporeal Christ is present here now and always. There was no corporeal Jesus. The incorporeal Christ said so. Where Jesus appeared, incorporeal Christ stood. Where you appear, is there really a corporeal form? Or does the incorporeal Christ stand where you seem to be? Your demonstration of sonship, your transition, your salvation, your fulfillment, your survival depends on your realization of two factors. First, that the incorporeal Christ self of you is your permanent and only self. That where your corporeal sense of body and life appear to be, your incorporeal Christ is. And second, only by practicing the presence of your incorporeal self and learning to live in it daily can the light of Christ lift you out of dying flesh into divine flesh. That is eternal, that is perfect, as God, your incorporeal source. The repetition must be made now. If you are not practicing daily the presence of your incorporeal self, you are remaining in constant separation from the grace of God and from your own eternal life. The pendulum is always swinging between corporeality and incorporeality. Choose one, the wrong one, and you remain in the mortal illusion. Choose the other, the right one, and the kingdom of heaven on earth becomes your habitation. You cannot be both spirit and flesh. You cannot be both spirit and corporeality. And because you are incorporeal spirit, the material illusion must bring you suffering until you awaken, until you refuse to live in the imitation corporeal life and body and turn to your real incorporeal self. In his rebuke to Peter, Jesus was ripping away the corporeal veil which contains the effects of duality, such as war, poverty, pollution, hunger, disease, all that, to reveal incorporeal man as your only identity here and now. And the ever-present incorporeal universe as the finished kingdom of God, in which the Son of God, your only self, now lives forever under grace, while the corporeal creature, which you think you are, or once thought you were, continues in the dream of a struggling life stream sandwiched between the illusions of birth and death. We have now the secret of life to flow with the will of God. And because God's will is no longer a mystery, we may confidently release ourselves to the will which has been expressed to us, and that will is for you to transform transformation through the renewing of your mind by your soul. Transformation from the corporeal illusion that suffers and dies in the into the incorporeal self that already has overcome this world. Again, the will of God says, my kingdom is not of this world, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then it says to us, flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, but seek it. And therefore we are told, do not seek the kingdom as flesh and blood, but rather seek ye first the incorporeal kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. Do you doubt any of this? Can we turn from this expressed will of the Father? Can we say, but I want to cling to corporeality? I want to cling to the concepts which are so beautiful in this world, so dear to me, so cherished, so close. Or can we accept the expressed will of God to flow with that will, to step out of the cosmic mind, which is presenting corporeality to mankind? Can we do that? Is this not the way that we overcome the sense of a body that needs protection against advancing age, natural disasters, germs, violence, inhumanity, and the entire inventory of corporeal illusions that surround us? The inner voice, whether you hear it or not, is saying to you, I am yourself, and you are incorporeal being. You are the soul of God. You are the spirit of God. You are the incorporeal Christ of God. Right here and right now, your salvation lies in your own hands by knowing the truth. And when the Bible teaches you that Christ is the identity of Jesus, it is teaching that there is no corporeal Jesus, only the incorporeal Christ. And only the incorporeal Christ is standing there, but that is not all. The incorporeality of Christ seen by human eyes as the corporeal Jesus is part of an even larger secret. And that secret is that all corporeality to God is an illusion. And that incorporeality is the hidden identity of every man, woman, and child who has ever walked this earth. Be ye transformed from corporeality to incorporeality, because God is no respecter of corporeality. This is the divine will ignored by man and by the teachers of man. And Spirit is bringing this universal era to our attention right this moment by worshiping Jesus instead of the incorporeal Christ. Religion has driven a wedge between God and man. Encouraging corporeal man to worship his external God. It cannot be done. It is impossible. No human being has the capacity to worship God. Have ye that mind which was in Christ Jesus? You are the incorporeal Christ. How could you have the Christ mind if you are not the Christ? How can you be the image and likeness of God and be a dying form at the same time? How can you be standing on holy ground if you are not holy yourself? Your original spiritual substance has never changed. For many lifespans, you have wandered through the corporeal dream, seeking God, and denying your own reality, seeking wisdom and divine guidance, unaware that your own incorporeal Christhood contains everything you seek, and more. Now, the instant you awaken from the dream of corporeal flesh, the Christ who gives us light is seen as our own incorporeal self, which is made in the image and likeness of God, and we are free of the illusion of dying flesh forever. Fortunate we are that Christ did not rebuke Peter and let the matter drop right there. When Peter recognized Christ where Jesus stood, it was Christ who then replied, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." On the rock of Christ. Ah, but Christ is incorporeal, not corporeal. And it is on the rock of incorporeality that we stand secure against the gates of hell, which are really the jaws of the world mind, ever seeking to consume our false corporeality. The incorporeality of Christ, who has overcome the world, still dwells among us, and is still saying to the soul of every man, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Once more, the will of God is saying, follow Christ. You must reject the dream of corporeal flesh. Accept incorporeal spirit as your reality now. And this is the key to your Father's perfect kingdom on earth, as in heaven. Your move from corporeality to incorporeality turns earth into heaven. You cannot be both. And any individual living in a corporeal sense of life, whether he be good or evil, moral or immoral, is violating the will of God and separating himself or herself from the will, life, power, law, harmony, and grace of the only Creator. Relentlessly, to be sure that you hear the truth, Christ continues, "Whosoever will save his life will lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." In other words, whoever lays down the sense of corporeality for his own incorporeal Christ self will find his own perfect divine self. And this is the will of God, unmistakably. Your obedience to it opens the unlimited resources of your soul. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Six days later, Jesus revealed the greatest secret ever disclosed on this earth. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he showed three disciples that he did not live inside a finite human form. To their astonishment, he revealed his incorporeal body, which had no human boundaries. He was saying to the world, "This is your body. Live now in your infinite body of spirit. And for you, the gates of heaven on earth will roll open to welcome you into the kingdom of perfection here and now. Your own incorporeal self is the way. The infinite way, the truth, and the life. And only in that self can you fulfill the will of God, your eternal Father, and be as perfect as your Father wills you to be. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. For the peace that passeth the understanding of the human mind comes only to the one who lives as a living soul. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall inherit the earth. And it is now time for every truly dedicated student of the infinite way to inherit the earth, to step apart from the world mind, to incorporealize your environment, to incorporealize your child, your mother and father, your brother and sister, to incorporealize your neighbor, to incorporealize your husband and wife, to incorporealize the human race. To accept the incorporeal Christ identity of mankind. And daily to live in that acceptance and are demonstrated by living works. We are going to enter our own incorporeality very frequently during this series of tapes. And in between all tapes, you will be entering your incorporeality and releasing it into visible manifestation in this world. And through it you will be releasing the will and power of the Father wherever man walks. On the other side of this tape, we will go into a further discussion and expansion of our own incorporeality. And also, I have been instructed to set up a meditation group for all who walk this path, in the United States and abroad. And the time will be 7 p.m. California time, and the subject will be given to you on the other side of the tape. But in order to prepare for the subject, you must develop this capacity to do what we did at the beginning of this first side of the tape. We stepped out of the shadow into the substance, out of the form into the life, out of the finite body, into an acceptance and then an awareness of the infinite essence of our own incorporeal self, into our everywhereness. And you will learn to establish this so well that you will not only apply it in the meditations that we will develop on the reverse side of this class, but you will apply it to your life and you will see incredible results. Let us hold the consciousness. Let us thank the Eternal Father for individualizing as our own incorporeal self, which is undivided from Source forever. Let us rest in this indivisibility, knowing I and my Source are one. I am the Father of the one incorporeal self, without division, and the power of one undivided consciousness will lift you out of the mental realm up into the higher dimensions of soul, spirit, and Christ, where Christ within becomes the expression of the Holy Ghost, enforcing the perfect will of the perfect Father. We thank the Father for this class. We thank the Father for bringing together those who dwell in the gold of the Father's wisdom. We thank all who serve the Spirit. We thank all Infinite Way teachers. We thank all Infinite Way tape leaders. We thank all teachers in all movements throughout the universe who dig deep into the mind of spirit for the truth they bring forth. And we thank all those who walk the path of spirit with one thought, to find the universal love of the self, which binds men with the understanding that prevents the follies and futilities that this world has witnessed through lack of its own spiritual center. We offer a universal thanks to the Universal Father, and together, in oneness, we walk onward and upward to higher dimensions of our own being, guided by the will, the love, the grace, the wisdom, the omniscience of the Omnipresent One, which we acknowledge as our infinite self. We stand still before the Infinite One. Let the Father speak to your soul as it receives the bread of life. one self, one eternal being, without opposite forever. I am that I am. And my fidelity to this truth is the key to the kingdom. Blessings, 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 eternally.